Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Do a little Monday market view here of Derek Carr. And he came up in a trade maybe or in some other different discussion recently. And it prompted me to, you know, look and see, just do a deep dive because I was really interested in him as a player. And I think he's like, he's got a really confounding profile. So he's very good in some really key stats. So just do a rundown here of some of the stuff. But what's confounding to me is he's significantly better on non-play action throws than play action throws, which is an incredible anomaly. Most quarterbacks are much better at play action passing than non-play action passing. And when you look at Carr, from a clean pocket last year, the best quarterback in football. When you look at him throwing in play action, which should be easier, right? That's that clean pocket, his yards per attempt, best in football. When you look at some of the play action stuff, it's abysmal. And I don't know why that is. You know, I did some tape review of it, and unfortunately, Game Pass, the NFL provider, doesn't have a way you can actually just sort and go through all the play action stuff. But I glanced on a couple games, and it's almost like it's not prioritized. Like the actual play action of the play action pass isn't prioritized. I don't know what the deal with that is, but I'd be interested in, you know, in a more robust analysis from someone like PFF or someone like that about why that is, because it's a really curious it's a really, really curious anomaly in his stats. But when you look through here, there's a lot of good stuff, right? So since 2017, he is 17th in EPA plus CPOE, so that's the combined expected points added per play plus completion percentage over expectation, and that's 0.105. By way of reference, Jared Goff, 0.101, Kirk Cousins, 0.106. So pretty good, into Stafford's in that range as well. So when you look at some of the other stuff, 21st in success rate, that's 48.4%, and that's, I cut off some of the, yeah, there was a certain threshold I used to evaluate these. I think it was several hundred dropbacks. So 48.4 was his success rate his success rate. And that is 48.8 for Cousins, 48.2 for Goff. So again, they kind of all fit together in a tier, which is, I think, interesting. You know, and I think probably further evidence that Goff isn't as bad as people think. So we'll see how much of that is McVay. It's going to be a really interesting McVay to Stafford Stafford Goff comparison lens once we get maybe a couple seasons here without Goff with McVay, and then we get Stafford with McVay. It'll be an interesting look-see for sure. So when you look at some of the yards per attempt stuff, which is a big thing that I look at in terms of, you know, how good are you? We've seen a little bit of fluctuation, but some growth in the last 3 years. So 5.5 to start his career, 7.0, 7.0, 6.8, that'd be 2017. 2018 is when we see the uptick to 7.3 yards per attempt, 7.9 in 2019, 7.9 in 2020. So that's very, you know, that's good growth. That's what you want to see. Pro Football Reference has a stat, which is yards per attempt plus, basically. It's adjusted, you know, for the year, basically how you sort of rank. 100's essentially the median. And so he was 59th, 94th, 97th, 92nd to start his career. And those were the basically 7 yards per attempt and below. Last 3 years, 102, so just over the median, 112, so substantially over it, 114. So we're looking at some pretty good growth there in terms of, you know, his yards per attempt stuff. So that's really good. Career finishes, 20, 13, 10, 18, 18, 16, 13. And so basically the quarterback 2 range. it's really interesting because quarterbacks tend not to linger there without a high hit. So it's almost the Andy Dalton thing where you get an elite hit. It's rare for quarterbacks to get enough play where they basically linger in that range without really cementing themselves early on. Now, you could say with Carr, he had that MVP-type season going, and then he got hurt. That could be part of it, where they say, hey, like, this resume is really good, when it's kind of middled out a little bit. 11th in on-target throws, 78.9% last year, so that's pretty good. 18th in bad percentage throws, that's right around the middle of the position. I think there was like 45, 50 qualifiers under the stat. So pretty good across the board there. When I look at the contract stuff, it's pretty interesting. Over the cap has him valued at $29.5 million. His base salary last year, $19.7 million. His base salary last year, $18.9 million. His cap hit, $21.5 million. So Raiders getting a deal there, about $8 million by what the market analysis would suggest. Base salary this year, $19.5 million. Next year, $19.8 million, basically. Cap number, this year is $22 million. That's 11.7% of the cap. Next year it actually goes down to 19.9, and that's projected at 9.5% of the cap. He has zero dead money after this year, and he is got $19.9 million in cap savings next year. He could be cut now, and basically only cost $2.5 million against the cap this year. So the reason I mentioned that is, like, there's an out for the Raiders if they choose to pursue Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's gonna happen, but there's an out there if they want to, where they could, if they can't move Carr, it place Carr in a really interesting spot because he definitely deserves to be a starter around the league. I just don't know what teams right now would be, what team you would say, hey, you know, they're going to bring him in August, right? And there's cap space concerns and there's all that. You know, teams kind of have it locked down. Could he go intra-division to a place like Denver, for example? That would be interesting. There's just not a ton of places where you could look. You know, if this happened in January, for example, like, you could see a whole bunch of teams be interested, like the Saints, you know, like this upcoming January, for example, like the Saints, you know, if Brady retires, you know, if you just keep going down, you know, Pittsburgh. So I think he's got a really tradable contract, a really attractive contract, really, to only a year left. And it's a pretty reasonable number there as some of these teams get their dead cap stuff cleared up. Like, it's a really reasonable number for a starting quarterback. So we'll see how that all rolls out, going forward here. They don't have a ton of – I'm not sure how they would fit Rodgers either if you sort of look at it this year. I guess they could potentially make some moves to clear some money if they wanted to. But they would need, I think, a little bit of finagling to get Rodgers to fit. So even if that is a possibility, you know, I think it bears mentioning, but I think it's probably an unlikely outcome at this point. So all that's to say, I think Derek Carr is a pretty good quarterback. But he's probably not elite. What would take him to be elite? I think an improvement in some of the play action stuff is, like, really fertile, easy ground. I mean, that's, you know, I wrote it in the book, and I was talking to my, it's funny because I wrote about a golf tournament in the 2021 edition that I played in with my dad. And I never told him that I'd written about it. And it was basically about how I spent years, you know, struggling to get a driver in play, and basically, you know, just giving away strokes and just really stupid stuff. And I put I left the driver in the garage, took the 3-wood out, and all of a sudden I'm playing a lot better because I'm just not, you know, the really easy strokes, which was, you know, not dropping on the, you know, the right side of 2 where I would play, which would always be where I'd hit my driver. OB, right side of 2. I couldn't reach that with my 3-wood, and I couldn't, it was just, I wasn't as far dispersed, right? So there was less mistakes. It was just really easy, fertile ground, and I don't hit the ball well enough for it to make a huge difference in my approach shots. So it was a huge difference in my game, right? That's kind of what it feels like for Carr. Right? If you could just go to this really fertile, very ripe schemes of play action, of using more of those concepts, that he could have a really high ceiling. It's just really curious to me that he hasn't. So I don't know what type of analytics they're doing on it or anything like that. But if we looked in, week 4 or something like that, and Derek Carr was up at the top of the league as being like one of the best passers, and we saw that, like, I could totally believe that if we saw that play action number get higher, right? So I could absolutely totally get on board with that. I think part of the problem you're going to have with him is just not going to have a ton of rushing stuff, so that's probably going to cap some of the ceiling too. Ultimately, I have a little bit of question on sort of what the longevity angle of this looks like. With the Raiders, I would feel like this is a spot where you're probably like, hey, even if he's not there, he's going to be a starter someplace else. So that would just be a curious, a thing that I would point to and say, I'm not sure how insulated he is there, but I think he's probably insulated for, 50 more starts in his career at least, would sort of be my thought. Assuming health, so at his cost right now, he's going pretty reasonably. It's quarterback 26, 804 in startups. So just by way of reference, he's going a round after Daniel Jones. He's going 2 rounds after Zach Wilson. He's going just behind Mac Jones. He's going about a round ahead of Goff. He's going right next to Sam Darnold. So again, guy that can play versus guy that can't play. Derek Carr, we kind of know that he can play. Sam Darnold, has a lot of evidence to say that he can't. So that's an interesting one there. He's going ahead of Winston, which is, I think, if you were to take the median guy, you would absolutely, if you'd take the median of their projected outcomes, like you'd take Carr. Winston is much more, he's going round and a half later. He is the higher end. If you're shooting for the higher end, I think that's the Winston outcome. So I think that's a curious one there. I think ultimately Carr's probably right. But I'm looking at Carr and I'm thinking about ways to potentially pivot. And I think that there's some opportunity if you're trying to go with a non-super elite quarterback build, try and take some cheap longevity in the quarterback 2 realm. I think Carr presents that opportunity pretty good. We'll look here through some of the trades in the trade finder. Derek Carr for a 2022 first in Superflex. These are all Superflex trades. There's another one for him in a 2022 first with Jimmy Garoppolo actually on the side of that. So that's notable there as well. I think that, that's a question of what you think about Garoppolo. I think if you're contending, if you need to backfill the position, I think you're probably going to backfill is probably not the right word. Fill in, solidify, I guess is really the right word. Quarterback 2, like you feel okay going with Carr, right? I think that 20. If you look at that pick and you're like, man, I have a hard time thinking that's going to be like a top 5 pick. Like, I know I hate doing that at this time of year, but like if I don't think the pick's going to be that high, I can see taking the Carr side. I would kind of be my angle on it. I'm not jumping over the moon to go out and acquire him because I think he's a huge difference maker, but I think he probably has untapped potential, which is odd for a quarterback of his age. So I'm a little conflicted. That probably wouldn't be the way I'd go about him. A trade that I like a lot more, this is the one that I like a lot more if I was going out to target him, would be Jordan Love, Tyrod Taylor, and a 3rd for Carr. Right? That's something you don't really know what you have in Love. Like if he were to become Carr, it's probably a major upset would be my suspicion. We know what Tyrod Taylor is, and the third's not that valuable, right? So I think that's going from basically three speculative assets. Only one's got a really good chance of becoming, or any reasonable chance of becoming, a core guy, to a guy that's probably a core guy that's not super highly thought of, right? This is probably a little bit of a market busting. There's not a ton of attraction on the open market to Derek Carr, but I think if you're trying to build out a team in terms of some production, that's not a bad way to go. Derek Carr and Devonta Smith for Zeke, Brian Edwards, and Evan Ingram. I think that's the type of trade that you do when you get in a lot of trouble in, at the quarterback position. That's the type of trade that happens. So that's probably one that I don't really love. Derek Carr, Debo Samuel, and Marquise Brown for Joe Burrow. That's interesting. I take the Burrow angle on that because I think he's probably got a higher upside. And I don't think Debo Samuel and Marquise Brown are all that much. And plus, you could pivot off of Burrow, right? You can pivot from Burrow to, I don't know, Stafford plus, right? I think that would be the – so I would take Burrow as the asset, and I might not even hold him for too long. Derek Carr and Mike Williams for Kellen Mond and Adam Thielen, so someone on the Minnesota bandwagon there. That's one I'd probably, as I look at it, Mond doesn't do a whole lot for me, and I think he really is blocked by Cousins over the next couple of years. I'd see a tough time with them getting out of Cousins. Cousins has done a really good job of structuring his contracts to make him very safe. So he's really reshaped the quarterback contract market, if anyone wants to actually study it. And I don't love Thielen at this point. So I think I would take the Carr side on that. Mike Williams is an interesting throw-in, sort of deeper guy. This is a deeper – it looks like a deeper roster too. So Mike Williams probably has a little bit more viability than you would think in like a 22-man roster or something like that. Kenny Galladay, Robert Woods, and a 2022 third for Derek Carr, a whole bunch of other things, including Matt Breida, Devin Singletary, Nico Collins, Dwayne Eskridge, and I think the most important part of this is the 2023 first. Give me the Carr side on this one. I like Woods enough, that's fine, but I think you're getting two pretty good assets there in terms of Carr, especially in Superflex. Carr and the pick, I think that's pretty interesting. Jalen Hurts for Carr, I know that market would take the Hurts side. I mean, I think you could, if you did over-unders on games played, games started for the rest of their career, I think you'd probably take Carr pretty heavily. I think the over-under there would be, maybe not necessarily twice as high, but it probably should be than what Jalen Hurts would offer. One last one here, Derek Carr and Hunter Renfro for Tyler Lockett. It's an interesting – I like Lockett quite a bit. I think it's an interesting one because they're very similarly priced. And so I could see taking either side of it. I mean, I'd probably take Carr because of the positional scarcity, and it probably allows you to potentially pivot – from a different quarterback, maybe to a more insulated receiver, running back, something like that. So I definitely see it. I lied. Two more. And I'll just highlight these two because I think they're pivots between the position. I guess both of them are pivots that I would not do. So we're talking about pivots we potentially would do. This wouldn't be how I would do it. So Ryan Tannehill for Derek Carr, 211 and 212. That's two dead zone picks and Carr for a higher quarterback. So I would take Tannehill there. And there's a pretty big gap in production and in market value. So I think that two dead zone picks doesn't really do that. So I would take the Tannehill side there. If it was Derek Carr in a first, a future first, I think I'd probably take the Carr side there. So that would sort of be how I'd look at it. I don't think, maybe necessarily if Tannehill's not going to produce top six finish, the difference is probably close enough that it's not huge in terms of record. It's probably not a game. and it's you know, that pick is insulated and it's another asset. So that would sort of be the way I'd look at it. Another one I would not do, but it's sort of highlights the idea of a pivot, would be Derek Carr and Blake Jarwin for Matthew Stafford. Again, giving the Stafford side immensely. I think he's got really high upside. He's shown he's got higher upside and those sorts of things. You know, if that's, again, if that's a first, now we're kind of talking on the Carr angle. I think Stafford's a tier above Tannehill. You know, so that would sort of be a different thing there. I have a little bit more questions about Tannehill in terms of some of the coaching movement and that sort of stuff than I do. That's a negative for him, where it's been a really positive for Stafford. So I think that they're in a different tier. But so that's pretty much the deal there at the position. You know, with him, the basically intra positional trades there for him. I keep saying that's the last one. I'll mention one last one. Derek Carr in a 2022 first for Jalen Hurts and Tyrod Taylor. That's exactly the thing you want to do, especially if that's the 2022 first of the Jalen Hurts person, because you're trading Jalen Hurts and you're basically making a bet against him. I like that quite a bit. So that would sort of be my angle there on those. So ultimately, I think Derek Carr is an interesting pivot. You know, I want to sort of come down to him from other avenues and get a future first. If he's my quarterback two, it's fine. Right? If he's my quarterback three, I think I feel pretty good. Where there's probably quarterback one upside there. You know, and if he came in and posted a quarterback seven finish, it wouldn't shock me. But he needs to get some of that play action stuff up, because you see more touchdowns and, you know, you see just higher end production there from those play action attempts, if you will. So that's really stuff that I think we can definitely look for and be excited about if we see that early on in the season. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.